Hello, everyone. Welcome back to this Break the Glass emergency episode of NBL Pocket Podcast. Joseph Corr here, Andrew Canyon across the way. We're just going to go through each topic completely unprepared. All I've got on my page, and I think Andrew as well, is a topic of something that's happened, and then we're just going to chat about it thereafter and have a bit of fun. Andrew Canyon, how are you?
Hello, Joseph Corr. It is interesting to be back. We've gotten over our technical difficulties, remembering how to do this. Back to basketball. We weren't even sure we were going to do this, but look, here we are, halfway through the off season, and decided to have a chat.
Let's not kid around. The big reason that brought this out was Chet. Chase Buford.
Chet, surprisingly impactful at my end. You know that I've not been on Twitter for a long period of time.
6 or 8 months.
Yep.
All of a sudden came back.
Just dropped into the replies. Not my own post, but yeah, replying to Chase Buford. There's something about the guy. Drove me crazy, but damn, he was likable, and I kind of enjoyed his hijinks.
Actually, I'll change that. I think he's lovable, but unlikable.
Oh, that's a better way of putting it, yeah.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Because he's objectively unlikable.
It's a pain in the ass. Yeah, you watch him on the sidelines, you get a haircut and...
Get a haircut. Yeah. Just stand off the side. Just roll the balls out. These guys are pros. They know what you're doing. They'd win without you, really. Let's start there. Chase Buford, he's left the Kings. I'll start with this question. Good move, bad move by Sydney?
Bad move.
Bad.
I think you've got a coach who's won you the last two titles. Obviously well liked by the playing group because they're playing well for him. Fans seem to like him. You know, good for the league. Good, Paul Smith loves a headline. You've got a walking headline in Chet. And then they just let him, they hit a timeline, a deadline, and they just say, no, thanks. Like, tough business call. But I'd let it go.
Yeah, I agree. Bad call. Guys won two championships in a row, and they've had great rosters, but still, coaches that can get out of the way and let their teams win, very rare. A lot of coaches feel the need to be a big man or woman, and it culls their team. He didn't do that. They won, and I think that – I will say this as well. They had this sort of deadline in mind that they were worried about. But the thought is last year, Chet has missed a number of games with – actually, I'll call him Chase. Chase has missed a number of games with suspension and things.
Yep.
And Kevin Lish has stepped right into that role. So the thought of, if he left, who could we possibly get to coach the team? Just get your assistant coach Kevin Lish to do it.
Sure.
This is the nature of the NBL. It's always a bit kind of helter-skelter and a bit scattered. Odds are he would have returned. And if he doesn't, you've got what is a pretty proven channel. Can I throw out a theory?
Sure can.
I think that it reeks of a snap decision and a very stubborn decision, which one of the ownership group at Sydney is prone to making, Andrew Bogut.
Yep.
And I think they've got their fingers burnt by Shane Heal. And I think they're kind of gone, oh, what's that? You're not 100% in? Well, we're crossing our arms. We're not going to get taken for a ride by another coach. And I think they've acted out of emotion and impulse rather than, unlike Sydney, with their head and heart. What do you think?
Interesting take. I don't really know. I mean, I guess the thinking at the time was this, and this is kind of what the intelligent people of the media are saying, is that, oh, they needed a head coach to be able to sign imports. Well, they've just signed an import.
Might I add on that, they've signed DJ Hogue.
Yep.
Really good player. We're going to talk about that signing in a second, but also, it's like, oh, how will we possibly communicate with – it's Daniel Moldovan of Octagon. He had 6 players on your roster last season. Just go, hey, Daniel, who's your best player? Yeah, we'll take him. Great.
Totally.
Who's our head coach? You don't care. You still get your 12.5. The player's coming to Sydney. It's one of the best cities in the country. That logic made no sense to me whatsoever.
It makes no sense. I don't get it. Who knows? Maybe there's actually something behind the scenes. Maybe they're just kind of tired of one another. And they're not saying that publicly. Who knows?
We'll find out.
It is what it is. We will watch him go on to we assume he's going to go to bigger and better things. He's got a fast path to the NBA through a bit of nepotism. So best of luck to him, right? We all rely on a bit of nepotism in our lives. I'm not going to say don't take advantage of it. If you have a leverage point, use it.
If anyone's giving, grab. That's our motto here at NBL Pocket Park, which is a great time.
No, I'm not going to let you go. Maybe it's the same. Maybe we're about to do the same segue. Speaking of grabbing, Okay. Now, I believe at some point there was some money that was going to be placed between your butt cheeks to be grabbed.
Yeah. Is that- the only thing that was snatched was not from my butt cheeks, but our media credentials from the NBL for that comment. Just snatched right away. But you know what? The NBL, we had the last laugh because I actually kept my media accreditation in my butt cheeks. So it was a figurative snatching from the butt cheeks. So, but now Chase is out of the NBL. He can tag these bets.
Yeah.
Get in touch with us.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Oh, we should get him on as a special guest of the show.
Oh, he would never. That's an open invitation.
It's there. It's there.
And that's an open invitation to all the coaches who hate listening to this podcast. They must listen. There's a hate listen going on. Let's jump on. DJ Hogue has signed with the Kings. I want to ask you this question, and it's kind of bringing in a couple of things. Keanu Pinder went to Perth.
Yeah.
DJ Hogue went to Sydney, yep. Both from the Cairns Taipans.
Yep.
Who would you have preferred, not saying for Perth's circumstances, for Sydney, just as a better player, who would you have preferred of the two?
Probably Pinder.
Really?
Yeah, I think you can get Hogue-style play from other avenues, but getting an athletic rebounding four in the NBL – that's more of a tough ask.
Who's a local?
Sorry?
Who is a local as well?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Like locals, rare ascendancy. But get a 3-point shooter from somewhere in the world, you can do that. Like Brady Manek and DJ Hogue were kind of along the same lines. You can make the argument. I would certainly argue that Hogue was better. But the point is that they both kind of brought the same skill set. So there's plenty of those sort of guys out there.
I mean, you made the – I only say this and ask the question because you made the statement all year, which I quite liked, was Cairns won – the Taipans won despite Pinder's absence and injury. They won a lot of games too, not only regular season but in the finals as well. So is he that game changer? We're going to find out. But, that's my one skepticism.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, because we've seen it before. Players go to Sydney and they – all this, suddenly the bright lights and the pressure sort of gets to them, you know. And it's one thing playing well for a little regional city that isn't ever expected to do much. Now you've moved to the two-time defending champions. If you don't bring your A game every night, it's going to be criticism heaped upon you.
Yeah, and he's one of the big imports. Sydney have, I mean, look at their stocks. They've lost Cooks. Hogue comes in as his replacement essentially. Yep. And you don't know who your point guard, and they've always had in Sydney really good point guard imports. So hopefully they get that done. Otherwise, he might be in some trouble. I want to stay with Cairns. They have lost out their lineup.
Man, this one.
DJ Ho, wow.
I was just going to say, I've got Cairns have been raped and pillaged. Go ahead, take it away.
Brutal. Hogue, gone. Yep. Pinder, gone. Yep. Ben Eyre, who was a starter for them due to injury, but started nonetheless. Shannon Scott gone. I think that's four starters, that's just, guys who played 20 plus
minutes. That's who I've got on my list. I don't know. Is there any others? I've got those four guys. I think that's all.
I think they're the bigger ones that are gone and soon to be more.
Oh, so, what about I think Michuk Deng might be gone as well.
Oh, could be. If he has, hasn't committed to my memory, but let's throw him in there as well. So that's four or five guys. I mean, that's where the NBL, the sort of, second best league and all this talk about, anyone could win on any one night. It's like, not the Cairns Taipans after they've had a good year, though.
No,
they're getting absolutely stolen.
I feel so sorry for them. Jeez. Just hard work, man. You got to retool all over again.
Great coach to do it, though. I feel like Adam Ford's a real, he's got dirt under his fingernails and they'll be competitive, but they can't win. Have this much change.
No, I just feel sorry. Like some coaches get this reputation now. Like Ford's got it. It's like, good development coach. Like he's probably sitting there going, I just want to win a title, man.
I mean, he was in the. Were they in the grand final? Yeah. They were. They played Cairns, right? Yeah, that's Sydney versus Cairns.
What in the grand final?
Who was in the grand final? I've totally forgotten.
I'm pausing for thought.
That was them.
Was it? No, it wasn't.
That's amazing. Cairns beat Jack Jumpers in the first.
Oh, my God.
No, hang on. Here, we can do this. So Sydney finished top. Yeah, it was them. I cannot remember. And I'm not cheating. We can easily. Here's the thing. People are like, oh, my God, what are they doing? We can easily Google it. We just didn't bother. It's not because we're dumb. It's because we're lazy. Oh, let's just even move on. Let's leave it up in the air. Who cares? I want to talk about this. New NBL CEO David Stephenson.
Whatever it is. The footy guy. Yeah.
Footy guy. Great way to say it. Footy guy. That's what we're going to talk about. What did you think about that appointment? Have you seen any of the articles or interviews? Have you cared? What do you think?
I read the fluff piece they did when he was appointed. Yep. He seems fine. He seems like he knows his way around league management. So that'll be good. Basically bummed off the footies gather round. It's like, oh God, somebody has a good idea and then suddenly everybody's got to talk about it.
Very interesting point. And a little tap of the head to Jackson McDonald, always thinking about this league. He said, we had a gather round. It's called the NBL Cup and it did poorly, admittingly at the height of COVID.
Yeah.
But they did that with their base games in Melbourne.
Yep.
This is not AFL. This is not the same thing. So I heard that and I thought, that's just scrubbing someone else's name off their homework and putting yours in its place. I thought that was tired and I thought it was lame.
Yeah.
I can be honest with you. Hiring a footy guy, why do you think the NBL, and don't just say because they're in Melbourne and they can't get out of their own orbit, although it's true, you can't, why would they hire an AFL guy? Looking at their code and the crossovers, why would they do that?
Because,
do you think?
Because ultimately basketball is always going to be footy's cuck, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
This is off-season banter, right? Off-season banter. This
doesn't. Let me just. We're going to do a running cuck, Callie. Cuck counter. That's one. Go on.
Anybody. I mean, footy. To be fair, it's such a bigger organization. Like one, the scale of one club is almost like the scale of the entire league, right? Mm-hmm. Certainly here in Perth, the budgets at West Coast and Fremantle have. They're both crap on the field, but they've still got massive budgets, big spend, and I'm assuming it's very similar in Melbourne for each of the clubs there. So they're pretty big organisations. So I think well positioned, and also just leverage, just knowing people, and I think trying to get some of those traditional footy people to believe in basketball. You put a footy guy at the top, you're like, oh, okay, maybe it's legit.
Well, I think the rumor's always been that what they want to do with the NBL is kind of get AFL teams to buy their affiliate team. So Perth Wildcats and the West Coast Eagles are basically one conglomerate and they share staff. Yep. So all that crossover, all your health insurance, it's all covered by the same thing, which is a pretty good strategy, right? Because I remember Essendon were looking to buy into Southeast Melbourne. Didn't happen.
Yeah.
So that would be a good thing. And I agree with you. AFL is a huge code and any way you can attach yourself to it, great. What I do think is that shows a bit of lack of, I mean, I just think NBL, Australia, you want to have a stranglehold here and a footing here, absolutely. However, I feel like the growth of this thing is in your Asian betting markets. And I don't know if this guy helps with that. Hmm. Maybe he does.
Yeah.
Maybe he has some inroads. But I just think you can so easily export this visually rather than worrying about, you know, obviously Larry's got wants to build stadiums. That's his business. But if you put that to one side, and if you're thinking we're going to sell heaps of tickets and that's how teams are going to make money, I think that's crazy. When you can so easily export this thing as a video product, which takes nothing to do over the internet, and get into the betting markets of China and all through Asia, which love a bet, same time zone, they can be right on top of it, and you're exporting a product that's. You're sending it through YouTube, where this thing costs us $15 a month to host. They could do that so easily, and this guy doesn't help with that. I'd be looking to – that would be my number one focus if I was the NBL. Rather than aligning to the NBA and everything else, it would be getting into those markets and getting the betting revenue, because I was listening to an interview with the AFL guy, head of the AFL, and he was very sheepish about saying, like, yes, with Sportsbet, we take a certain percentage of all bets that are laid. If you get a deal like that in the NBL – that's a lot of money for clubs and teams. Does this guy help with that? Maybe. It wasn't a question posed to him.
Yeah, but interesting.
We'll start. Staying in Melbourne.
Okay.
With a Perth bent, Travers.
Yeah. Melbourne United, they're building quite the mini boomers team, aren't they?
It's all white guys. A lot of white guys. A lot of white Australian guys on that team. What do you think?
It's just the way they like it. oh look, they're looking currently to be the best team in the league. I think.
Oh, I disagree, but go on. Just for people, okay. Dellavedova, Golding, Travers, JLA, and presumably one import.
So you were high on the Melbourne last year, and I wasn't. We may be swapping this year. So I think
I had them in the finals. Oh my! I think I did have them finishing top. Yep,
yeah, fair play. Yep. So I think this year
we couldn't remember who's in the grand final, but we could remember that.
Nobody remembers a loser, right?
That's true. Good point.
Yeah, so I think Melbourne are looking real good this year. I think Travers under Vickerman, Vickerman just barking at him, sort of being more that Trevor Gleeson coach, where it's
I agree with this.
Pull your finger out and do some hard yakka. I think that'll really help him getting out from, you know, mum and dad and home cooking, literally home cooking, going home literally for spaghetti bolognese. I think that'll be really good for him. Then they've got JLA back. Like, he was unstoppable in the final series a couple of years ago.
And that was in a year with, like, Cooks. Creek's still around, but, you know, with guys like Cooks around and other good bigs. And now less bigs are coming back with Cooks gone. So he is a top three big in the league and potentially number one.
Yep.
For sure.
Yep. So I think if they get a good import, then they're right up there.
Dellavedova.
He'll be fine.
2.0, 2 years removed from what we saw him before. You like that experience?
Hey, never forget that Illawarra game.
33, second game of the year, and then thereafter. It'll be interesting. My only worry is with all these NBL teams, you got a lot of their starting backcourt's going to be a combined 70 years old.
Yeah.
Dellavedova and Golding.
And then they got Newley coming off the bench.
That's 100. They're a centenary. They're sort of backcourt rotations, 100 years old. One injury to one of those guys, and, you know, I see Shaley's a good backup. So, no, they're poised well. I just worry about injury.
Yeah.
Soft tissue with those older guys. And I think it's true with Melbourne where they'd rather win it. They would rather look good and lose than look bad and win, where they would rather spend up on the Australians and have their kind of little Australian basketball club and lose.
Yep.
Then go after, just do what Perth have done for years, which is like get two or three great imports, pay them a fortune and then surround them with bit pieces from Australia. They would rather do it that way. This says that to me. They're talking about going with one import when they have they could get three. That's crazy.
Mm.
But no, you're quite right. I'll say this. Travers, 21 years old, 10 points per game, 6 rebounds, 50% last year. You're looking for those numbers to improve?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Not even the numbers, just his assertiveness and his ability to actually be strong on court. That's what I'm looking for. It's a strength thing. I want to see him sort of morph into the Xavier Cook style of
aggression. Yeah. I'll say this, Melbourne United social team, if you're listening, great idea for like pre-season thing, shave the mullet. Shave the mullet, do it for a cause.
Yep.
And it's like, get rid of that spangly mullet for, you know, new Travers.
Yeah, I like
new
that.
New city, new Travers, and then give the money to whoever.
I like that.
Breast cancer or something.
I like it a lot.
That'd be fun. I think he needs that. And I mean, short, something real short, tight to the dome.
Yeah.
And let's get serious. Moving on.
Yeah, I want to move across the ditch. I want to say, grand final runners up, New Zealand break.
Oh, there we go. Hey! We got it. We got there. Did you Google that? Or you remember it?
You got the fixtures from last season.
Of course.
I really enjoyed that series too. Damn it.
I loved it. It was great. Went 5 games. But, you know, you forget. But going back to the Adam Ford thing, but they came close, Cairns. That was a deciding game in that. We weren't far from it. So they were a couple of wins from beating the grand final. It makes sense in the long
run. We call ourselves professionals. Actually, no, we don't.
No, we don't. We're the least professional.
We don't get paid.
Now, I want to say this. Brisbane, you picked them to finish second last year. Isn't it crazy how I'll never forget that, but the grand finals. Brisbane have done a couple of things that are quite interesting. They've brought in Mitch Norton and the aforementioned Shannon Scott.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Haven't done much else.
No, but at least they got a point guard. They got two, so they've
done something that people have been saying forever.
Yep.
Forever get a point guard. What do you think of Brisbane? Like, give me a litmus test.
I tell you what, don't put Brisbane management up for a Mensa test. If you've been, everybody's been telling him to get a point guard. Finally, why don't we get a point guard? In fact, let's get two.
Let's get two.
Ridiculous. And maybe Sobey can play off the ball. Ooh, that could be exciting.
That could be fun.
Imagine. I wonder if that's ever been done.
Well, you never know what Sobey said. He may have said like, I'm in Boomer's selection. I want to improve my point guard skills. Yeah. Let me show off. Well, don't recruit over the top of me. There's every chance.
Well, now, Nathan Sobey, I'm sorry. You're Boomer's afterthought. Yeah, that's cooked. You're on the second half of your career. Your knees are shot. Nah, we're not listening to you anymore.
No, time to be told. Yep. And he can be really useful in that role. I quite like it for that reason. So they're already slightly improved.
Yeah.
Moving away from Brisbane, let's go to where their former GM is headed, Southeast Melbourne. Southeast Melbourne have signed Mike Kelly as their head coach. What was your reaction to that?
It's like, cool. Like, gets him out of Perth.
Fine. Okay.
He's a lovely dude, right? I got no issues with him at all. And he's obviously in some way a good coach because he's had the Boomers involvement and all that. But again, is that just a Melbourne thing?
Yes. I think so.
I don't think he's that great. I think he's a lovely guy that's just very okay. So I expect Southeast Melbourne to continue to be okay.
Here's what I'll say. Imagine going to your members and going, we've got rid of Simon Mitchell, very likable guy, had a few creases that needed ironing out in his coaching, late game situations, defense, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, we've gotten rid of him and we've brought in a new coach. And they go, okay, great. Gorgon was rumored and teased, never going to happen, but, and then you go, yeah, we've got a coach.
Yeah.
Mike Kelly. And your members go, hang on, isn't that the guy who won two of the last four wooden spoons? What kind of upgrade is this?
I know.
I don't get it.
It's a strange one. He's got this reputation that within inner circles, it seems, is this really good coach. Maybe he is, but he hasn't got results.
At all.
And you've got other coaches who have results and other coaches like right on the periphery that just never get a look in. They must be wondering, what have we got to do?
People out there, you can go back and listen to this episode. Joey Wright and I had a chat. The audio quality is terrible, but it's still there. I asked him, how do you be a successful coach in the NBL? And he goes, have a good relationship with your owner. Full stop.
Yeah.
I think he even let that hang in the air. And what he was implying there was your on-court, in this realm of the NBL, this zeitgeist of the NBL now, your on-court performance doesn't matter as much as getting along with your owner.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, Mike Kelly, very agreeable. And here's that point to me is hammered home by the fact that they bring in Sam McKinnon. What on his resume makes you go, Gladys, draw up the papers. Let's get a signature. He's not since guy ran a fucking franchise into the dirt last season. We got to have him. What the fuck? Sorry, language.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, doesn't it?
But it doesn't make me wonder. I know what's going on. It's like, we're just doing fucking deals for friends now? This is crazy. Well,
Tommy Greer wanted to hire Liam Santa Maria, but he already had a job. So who else did I play with? Oh, geez.
Oh, it's just mental. You can't do stuff like that in the broad spectrum of day and not to have people go, what are you playing at?
Yeah.
Racketeering almost.
I think what they're trying to do is a marketing point of view. It's like, Mike Kelly, he played for Magic back in the day. He's an old Southeast Melbourne guy. He's actually part of the family. So we're bringing the family back together. Well, I don't know.
And Simon Mitchell wasn't?
Exactly, yeah.
You know what I mean? Jeez. An awkward coach and banging around that part of the world forever.
I know. So I don't love it. I think they could have done a lot better. But, it's... That's Melbourne.
Talk to Melbourne about Melbourne. I must admit, can I just say, love that city. Best city in Australia by so far. So much fun to go around there. Let's staying in Melbourne. Kesselman said, we're going to help the WNBL. Didn't really give specifics, wasn't really pressed to, but the WNBL is in a big trouble where the players want more pay and rightfully so. They're terribly underpaid. I think the average salary is like 20 grand.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. Like 20, yeah.
Very sad, but again, if there's no money to give, you're not going to get it. But Kesselman said, hey, we'll take it. And I had to laugh when the WNBA was like, what we really want is an investor who's incredibly wealthy and business savvy and generous with their money. I'm like, oh, you want what everyone wants, an angel investor. I'm like, you've either got Larry Kesselman or that kid off YouTube, Mr. Beast. So take your pick. We all want that. Someone who's going to bankroll our hopes and dreams. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What did you think about this story?
Look, it's this age-old problem. Whenever BA is trying to run a competition, bad things happen. They're a governing body. They're not a organization that manages competitions. So it's always going to be a bit pathetic when they're running it. It's got to be. The ownership has to change. Why would they? I just think love Larry, hate Larry. You know, you have to genuflect to Larry whenever. If he buys into your club, you have to constantly mention the greatness of Larry Kesselman. That is the price you pay, right? But what you get in return is you do get cash. and you may get some future venues that he can then leverage.
Yeah.
In other.
I think they should change that. NBLK. Change the whole name of the thing.
National Basketball Larry Kesselman.
Larry Kesselman, hyphenated for some reason. Does the WNBL, put your Larry Kesselman hat on,
yep,
which is basically a bathing cap because he's bald, but we love the guy.
We're all over the shop today.
We're throwing out unnecessary shade and shadow. Put on your Larry Kesselman cap.
Yep.
Why would you want the WNBL? Is there any foreseeable profit to be made or even break even?
Joe, I think professional women's sport is the next great money earner.
I concur.
You have got the talent level constantly improving. You've got a latent market out there ready to be sold to impressionable girls who need sporting heroes to look up to. You see how well the AFLW is now starting to do. Gosh, just it's right there for the taking, but it needs capital. You've got to invest in it. You've got to market it. You've got to take a few losses over some years, and then you'll get your returns in the future. I would be absolutely investing in the WNBL and really turning it up.
And here's another point I want to make on that, and I agree with you totally. And another point I want to make is the NBL is never going to catch the NBA, not even going to come close. This is not Coke Pepsi. This is Coke and runoff from Chernobyl.
Yep.
Nothing? Okay. And so I think that you're never going to catch the NBA. Whereas the WNBL, the WNBA is catchable. It's bigger, it's better, but it's catchable.
Yep.
And so there's something to be said for that. But yeah, I agree. And then also I was looking at stats the other day. The NBA audience growth is about 20% or something, but its audience growth among women is greater than the average. So it says to me more women are getting involved in the NBA, the male basketball. There's no reason why that isn't happening here. I haven't seen these stats, but there's certainly no reason why it shouldn't either. So the idea of bringing a women's league, bringing the two together, I think it just integrates women into spectating the male version of the sport, for putting aside all that goodness of getting women involved and playing and participation, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But also actually getting them to buy tickets to the male event, which is what Larry's currently tied into. So you bolster one investment and build another as well at the same time. Yeah. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me. And the other thing is, if you make it a betting product, people will bet on it. Yeah. And there's a lot of money to be made there. I hate to be cynical there, but very possible. We'll just keep an eye on that space, see what happens.
Can I just quickly mention Adelaide now?
Yeah, do it.
So Adelaide, they've signed an old dude to replace another old dude.
So Kadee for?
No. Oh, well, Kadee. Yeah, actually, they've signed two old dudes then. I was thinking the their new naturalized South Australian guy. Who's going to replace Daniel Johnson.
Hey, Daniel Johnson, this is a story no one's talking about. How long has he played in the league? And his career is just seemingly just like a candle in the wind, never knowing who to cling to when the rain set in.
He's just been
Adelaide's rose. Just disappearing. Yeah, sorry, you were saying.
Yeah, it's just everybody's saying that basically he is gone, right? Nobody expects him to re-sign. They've got this Starling guy. So Alex Starling is the new signing. He's been tearing it up in the local Adelaide domestic comp forever. So he's got residency. He's an Aussie, forward. So, it's just interesting.
Why do you suppose? Why do you find it interesting?
Well, it's interesting. It screams low budget.
That's exactly what I was getting at. It screams low budget. Kadi is a guy you get where, because I like the results you get out of Kadi. Very low turnover, low risk, not particularly high reward.
Yep.
But solid player who's going to run your team well enough to where you're, you know, kind of in the conversation for being good.
You're mid table. This is like the ultimate mid table team, don't you think?
Mm. For sure.
I feel like last year they spent a lot of money and didn't get the results. And so this year they've just gone, stuff it.
That was our run.
Let's get the same results for half the spend.
This is true. I couldn't agree more. When I saw the Kadi signing, I thought, they're not going to spend as much.
Yeah.
They've got their fingers burnt last year. I think Grant Kelly, you know, we have to talk about the ownership. He had all that sort of sexual charges, things going on. I hope I'm using the right terminology. I think he was looking for a distraction. Now maybe that's gone well. Maybe it's gone away. I don't know. And he's gone, it's back to normal. Culling the spend. Where can we start? You brought up Daniel Johnson. Where does he go? What does he do?
Look, I think he's got to go to Cairns. I think it's the only hope. You know, the warm climate will probably help the knees. Be a bit more
flexible. Does he help a lot of teams? Will all the teams be looking at him, or will they be thinking?
Look, I think Daniel Johnson, he can be Cairns' DJ Hoag.
Oh, go away.
Like, he's a three-point shooter. You just bring him in. That's your role.
His defense is just so bad.
But who cares? They're not going to win anyway. So
I remember last year he was just getting headhunted. Just put him in pick and roll and guys were killing him. No, I don't know. He'd have to be in a very particular circumstance. But also, would he want to move from Adelaide? He's kind of made his money. He's been there for all of a sudden he's going to pick up and be a basketball vagabond after 10 years in Adelaide. I think he goes, you know what? I've made my money. Become a real estate agent, play NBL 1, put down 50 every night. I still get my beak wet. I don't know what I'm saying, but that's the thought. Todd Blanchfield has headed to Illawarra.
Yep. Back to,
I think, more the spot for him.
Yeah, I think so. I think everybody is happy with this. I don't think anybody in Perth saw that signing and went, we're going to really miss Todd Blanchfield.
I think it's kind of like when he signs the papers, you're like, oh, no, Todd, please don't go. We tried to keep him.
The fact that he was ever signed on that bigger extension was just ridiculous. Like, that's where the fault lies.
Yeah. You had to see it where he was brought in after COVID when Tarico White had to depart because they went down from 3 to 2 imports.
Yeah.
They brought him in. He was a great replacement in that circumstance. And then you thought, no, let's re-up the COVID experience. Mental. Yeah, poor decision. I want to ask you this question.
Yep.
50-50 split. Take your pick. Better sneaky signing, Hyrum Harris to Perth.
Hasn't really.
Or Matt Kenyon to Southeast Melbourne. Like, both very similar players, hard-nosed, defendery types. Who's going to be a more impactful player on their respective team?
That's a good one. Hyrum Harris, I'd forgotten. You mentioned it there. I had just totally forgotten about that too. Now, I like Kenyon. I think I like the way he goes about it. So I'm going to say him.
To Southeast Melbourne?
Yeah.
Under Mike Kelly?
I think Hyrum Harris won't get court time.
I disagree.
Yeah, okay.
I disagree. I think it's Harris. I think Perth need that. There's more of a place at Perth for Harris than there is for Kenyon at Southeast Melbourne, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
Perth were dying for someone who's just broad-shouldered to grab rebounds.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Maybe I just don't want to be a homer.
That's fair enough. No, that makes a lot of sense. Departure from that, just quickly, you decided to come back to Twitter after Chase Buford was let go. Tell me about that decision. Did you grapple with that?
Yeah, I did. I did. And I'm not saying I'm back. I don't want to give the impression that I'm actually back. I haven't actually posted. It's like that was
good point. It was a reply.
And I did that because I feel like we've given Chase such a hard time.
A lot of hard time. Yeah,
massive hard time. You go on the Discord, we've got like little Chase Buford icons and stuff. You know, everybody calls him Chet in our circles now. Like, we have given that guy an absolute roast. and he's taken it with good grace. He was nice to me at the Blitz when I was there in Darwin. And I was just like, thanks, mate. You just got to say cheers, mate. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm still out on Twitter. Jesus, what a shit show that place is.
Well, here's why I bring it up. So I think when Elon Musk took over Twitter, some 6,000 employees were fired.
Yep.
I think just last month or week even, Bob Iger of Disney savaged 7,000 jobs at ESPN. So my question is, are you going to be watching Disney and ESPN next season?
Well, it's not just about the job losses. It's about the right-wing enablement. Disney, on the other hand, have decided not to go ahead with a massive investment in Florida because of the silly sort of white Anglo-favored legislation they're passing. So Disney are on the right side of history there, whereas Elon Musk just tried to host Ron DeSantis' presidential run last night on Twitter and had a meltdown. Service couldn't handle it.
So you're still using Twitter but not posting?
No, I'm not using it. The thing is as well, I can't even use my third-party apps. Like I was a Tweetbot, Twitterific kind of user, right? Third-party apps, much better.
Nerd.
Yeah, I know, yep, totally. But chronological timeline, none of the algorithmic junk. And now you can't use any of that. They've turned all those access for those off. So I'm trying to use like the official Twitter app, and that sucks. So it's just it's not an enjoyable place to be.
It's a hard knock life. Let's get back to basketball. Peatling. Peatling has departed United for Illawarra. That's going to be a grudge match. He was obviously tapped on the shoulder and said, "Hey, we're signing Travis. There's no place for you here." And he's going, "Well, off I go to a perennial underachiever. Bless him.
Yep.
Hawks. That'll be fun because I quite like Peatling. Strong kind of guy. If I was Perth, I would have gone after him pretty strong over Harris, but nonetheless.
Probably did.
Yeah, good point. And he's just gone, nah, I want to get some minutes after fucking 4 or 5 years just parked on the bench.
Yep.
Great, good move.
Yeah, I like it.
That'll be some grudge match between him and Travis. For sure. That's brutal to spend living in Melbourne, amazing spot. Vickerman, your career's going quite well, not getting the minutes, but it's like your time. And then they all of a sudden lust after someone else late in the night at the disco in Travis. Oh, you'd feel pretty small. So good luck to him there.
And you know he's not afraid to put somebody on their ass.
Exactly. We've seen it. Moving on. Humphreys. Isaac. Humphreys of the Isaac variety, signed in Adelaide.
Snooze.
Anything else to add? We'll come back in 10 minutes, shall we, after the snooze is left?
God, that guy, seriously. He talk about just he can't stay in a place for more than 1 year, can he?
No.
Because people realize he's got so much potential. They look at then they see him at training every day and they're like, right, cool.
It's also this one's got a bit of a sour taste because you remember, was in Adelaide, played 7 great games.
Yep.
Not denying the 7 great games. It was 2 years ago. Played the game, got hurt, sat out the whole year. There was talk of should we cut this guy and bring in someone else, but Adelaide did the right thing and kept him on the roster. Cost JVG his job. And then after that, good faith signs in Melbourne. So this is really him taking the money to – you know, doing the right thing by Adelaide after he took that year to sit on the sidelines and rehab. So, I mean, when you say snooze, it's funny. We're talking about Adelaide. Kadee, if I said to you, wow, Adelaide have signed Jason Kadee, Isaac Humphreys, and have signed a naturalized local out of the NBL one. I mean, that is the most – what page of the newspaper is that headline? Page 125?
If I'm a season ticket holder, I'm looking at those season tickets thinking, I might not renew this year.
That's one where you're like, I might just see who the imports are and take in four – if I'm a big fan, 4 games this year, like Cotton, whoever else you like, a couple of guys, Sydney, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
It's not a play you want to see every day. You got anything for me?
No, I'm gonna do something that's not NBL related. It's NBL one related. I don't know when this episode is being released, but tonight
probably in about 20 minutes time after.
Excellent. Tonight I'm doing commentary for Perth Redbacks. It's the KO game of the round, Perth Redbacks versus East Perth Eagles, men and women. So check out KO Freebies. You'll hear more of my voice as we call those games.
Good stuff.
Redbacks men, get on that. They're a fun team to watch, actually. They got some good inputs.
Yeah, why not? Why not? How's that like, commentating, by the way?
I enjoy it. I really like it. A lot of fun. Mm. It's a different vibe to doing podcasting.
Are you in stadium?
Yep.
That's kind of cool.
I like that. I enjoy it because if nothing else, I'm going to watch basketball, and that's always a good thing. I really am liking the NBL One West product. It's really it's because it's grassroots, right? And you feel very connected to it. Small venues, right. You're right there in front of it. You can hear and see the action really easily. It's approachable. I like it. I think and the level of talent, like, it's not NBL level, but there's some guys there that are good. You know, so there's enough talent there to keep you definitely entertained. I said get around it. And it's like so cheap. I think it's like $10, yeah. $10 or $15 to get into a game, depending on where you go. You'd be crazy not to.
Yeah. Well, there you go, everyone. NBL One. Take it in on KO at the very least, or in person if you feel the rush. I want to talk about this. This is really the last thing I've got. And I don't know why I bring this up now, but I probably should have brought it up at the grand final between, of course, the Sydney Kings and the Breakers.
How could we forget that series? What an incredible series. Will McDowell-White back again to right the wrongs of last season.
Name the Breakers imports right now.
Derek Pardon.
Bang.
The other guy with the hair, Brantley.
Brantley, you're two for two.
And the scoring guy, Bobby. Bobby Brown.
Is it Bobby Brown?
Bobby Brown. Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown. Tina Turner? Was he married to? No, that was Whitney Houston. Anyway, whatever. Yeah, I think whatever it was. It was one of those guys. We're doing well. What was I going to say? Oh, the next star signed in Perth. Kind of looks a bit different. Looks like a real big body. Are we going to see something from this next star? All these next stars for me have been pretty lame. Jessup's probably been the most consistent performer all the way through. You know, Giddy left halfway through the year. Yeah. Mellow Ball halfway through the year. Hampton halfway through the year.
Yeah.
Huck Porty, good.
Huck Porty's been good.
Next stars. I thought this thing was going to be dead. And Santa.
I know. Bringing in
Christmas Miracle.
Let's see.
The French Canet. It's all these French guys. Repair.
Yeah. Jing.
There
is something going on there. It'll be interesting to watch. I think he'll be good in short stints. You know, put him in 3 minutes against the bench units of the other teams. Let him block a few shots. Could be fun.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting, that whole next star thing. Yeah, I mean, with more and more players coming out of this G League Ignite. By the way, G League Ignite is this faux-created tournament where they throw these kids in and they play these completely meaningless games to prepare for the NBA draft. And that's just going to become an NBA academy. Yep. Soon everyone will go there. So I don't know, but we said this last year, we said the year before, where's this program going? And then they signed pretty big names. I mean, this guy's not, he's kind of a basketball, he's not a LaMelo Ball name. He's not a Hampton name. These guys are famous or were. You know, he's kind of that sort of basketball famous, which I don't know if that really helps your bottom line, but they must see value in it. These NBA buyouts must be worth something.
Yeah, I think must be some money at the other end, right?
And the reason why I bring up the G League Ignite is players on there get a minimum of $100,000 American.
Mm.
So you would think that to come to the NBL is at least getting that.
Getting more than that.
Or certain circumstances.
Well, then the money is interesting because the money is paid by the league, right? So the salary is.
That's right.
But then, you'd think the league gets the buyout money.
Exactly. Well, that is exactly right.
Just have another profit center for the league.
And it all comes back to Terrence Ferguson when Joey Wright basically did this and signed him and thought, yeah, great. He'll be a whatever player he is, cool, and we'll get the buyout money.
Mm.
And then I believe at the last minute was told, no, you can't. We're trying to improve our relationship with the NBA. You can't do that. And was kind of like, what? Like, this is how it's done. And then the next stars kind of became a thing and they're taking the buyout money. So I'd love to know what that buyout money is.
Joey just getting screwed at every turn, right?
I know. And there he is, Mike Kelly. And Joey Wright's just out there fishing. Probably having his best life, by the way. Last thing I want to say is this. And then we'll get the hell out of there. There was a photo taken at the last year's grand final between the Breakers and Kings. Who could forget? And in that photo was Moldovan.
Yep.
Octagon Sports. And he had all the guys in his client just in that game. And he had six players on the Kings. Suarez, remember him? Tim Suarez. Yep. Simon, Justin Simon, Kwatnoy, Cooks, Bruce, and then I think a DP who I couldn't actually recognize. That's six players, three starters on a roster of 12. So yep. That's half the team, essentially.
Yeah, it's quite the stable.
Quite the stable. What? If you multiply that out, that's four, five, six players a team. That couldn't be the case across the league, but let's say it's four.
Yeah.
That's 40 NBL players on his roster. That's the equivalent of four NBL teams.
Yeah.
And maybe it's more than that. And maybe it's five a team. This guy owns essentially five NBL teams worth of players. And my question to you is, I can't even – the fact that I can name this guy by name and very high profile.
Yep.
Is it good or bad? How can it be good?
It's not good. My question to you. It's not good. You know, like you never want an oligopoly, two or three guys, you know, just dominating the situation, because then power becomes, it gravitates towards him, and he starts setting the market. No, I don't like
exactly.
It. We need some more agents.
We need some more agents. Solomon Dech amongst many. But it's so interesting. I mean, you look at it that way. If, let's say it's 50 to 60 players and the average contract's $200,000, because you'd have some high-end imports and some low-end or role players or whatever, that means he's making about $1 million of passive income off the NBL. Just, what's that? You want to sign this player? Yep, cool. There it is, 12.5%, good. And take four phone calls throughout the year. Like, what's that? You're on the bench? Yeah, it sucks. Hang up. You know, that's the job. maybe I'm oversimplifying things, but for $1 million, that's pretty good.
It is. Look, we've all seen Jerry Maguire. We know what the deal is.
Just scream down the phone.
Yep.
And you're done.
That's it. So perhaps we need to start the NBL pocket podcast
agency.
The NBL PPA.
I like it.
We've got skills. You can be the face man. I'll be the money. I'll be the money.
I have a face. I can do that.
We'll get Solomon in. We'll get Solomon in as our player liaison.
Indeed.
Look, this. We'll get Nick Tan. He can do graphic design marketing.
Yeah, for when we sign a player.
Yeah.
Or they sign with a team.
Jackson. He'll be writing our press releases.
Done. Or Chat GPT. AI's taking over all the shit. Most of the stuff on these websites looks like it's written by that.
Man, so. we're on it. Watch out, Daniel Motivan.
Did we just start a business?
Todd Blanchfield. If you need a better deal, come to us.
Yeah. I mean, imagine negotiating that contract. Yeah, Perth don't want you. They've made it incredibly. You want to go to Illawarra or Cairns?
Yeah.
Wollongong's nice this time of year.
Jeremy Kendall. We know you're looking for another deal.
Jeremy Kendall. Let's get that guy. I would get that guy in the books. I could get him a job. I feel like I could get him a job in the NBL. Probably not at the start of the season. Definitely mid-season.
That's his expertise right there. He steps in, good locker room presence. Not going to miss a beat with that guy.
Bryce Cotton, you need someone to totally F up your visa papers? We can do that. I'm sure we can. Just give them to me, and I'll just put them under like a table to keep it steady. It's basically what the Wildcats have done on your behalf.
Hey, look, we are connected to Danny Estrin. Lead singer of Voyager, also migration lawyer.
Oh, man, let's talk about that. I know now we're getting way off topic, but is he immigration lawyer?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So, nephew Alex Canyon, bass player in the band. We'll talk to Alex. We'll talk to Danny. We'll get Bryce Cotton sorted out, all as part of the NBL PPA service.
Here's the motto. Everything's going to be all right with your visa.
Oh.
What a banger, by the way. Fucking robbed.
Oh, totally robbed.
Top 10, which is pretty cool. I think ninth overall.
Ninth, yeah, yep.
We're talking Eurovision
top band,
people.
Top band. Only singers, like solo vocalists ahead of them.
So. If I can just get on my high horse about Eurovision, I mean, Loreen was never going to lose, right? Sweden, banger, good song, and she's Eurovision royalty.
Yep.
Euphoria, who could forget? But Voyager were definitely top five, maybe top three. They deserve that honor.
Yeah.
And I think the tops for me were Sweden. Austria had a banger. Who the hell is Edgar?
Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah, I like that one.
That finished in the bottom five or ten. That is a bang.
Yeah.
If I could, I'd listen to that as I scale Mount Everest nude and let it – that's a really good track, everyone. The other one I liked was, Austria.
Who I didn't mind Edgar? Italy. I thought Italy, they did well in the voting. I quite liked it for a classic Italian song. Very operatic.
No, not for me. Oh, Finland finished second. That was a great one. Cha. Banger.
Yep.
Great Eurovision, by the way. Really one of the best. And Voyager were really, really good. I was going to go and see them in Sydney. They've got shows, I think, this month.
Yeah, they're sold out. I've got tickets to the Perth one. They've just moved to a bigger venue.
Bigger venue. The problem is, I was like, I'll go and see them. And I don't really like to book way in advance. I never know my schedule. And then I get there and it's still a week or two out, sold out.
There you go.
I might... If you can, I mean, maybe speak to Alex for me or a scalper or something. I'd love to go and see him.
Yeah, I might be able to hook you up.
Mm. I'd love to see him, and I'd be there like with bare chested, with just slacks on. Everything's going to be. Oh, great track. I can't remember the one they did to go last year, but didn't get in. I can't remember that.
That was
good too, though.
Got the t-shirt. Damn it. Now it's on the tip of my tongue. It was good. But this one's better. It was good. Promise is actually better.
Oh, this one was – they could have won Eurovision. Anyway, let's get out of here. It's at 50 minutes. This was fun. Nobody wants to listen to this. If we get 350
There you go, patrons. Stop whinging. Yeah. We're giving you something.
Yeah, there you go. Open wide and swallow. All right. Cut counter. Only one. That shocked me. We came out with a bang with one early.
Don't worry. This time.
There's a whole season coming up.
Yeah, if we continue to go along with it.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Decide.
This might be a Patreon exclusive, you know? There's no money in just putting this stuff out for free. All right.
Now we need Chet to hear it, so he's not paying us.
Of course.
Yeah, got to release it.
Chet's strapped for cash these days. He's a billionaire. All right, and they've just signed the most – prestigious basketball talent. Anyway,
$5 a month, Chet. Jeez, come on, man.
God. Or just like make it a proviso in all those like reffing, yelling at ref fines that a certain amount has to be streamed off to us. And I swear to God, like everyone else in this business, if you pay us, we won't say anything unkind. Yeah. Okay, it's a very simple equation. Have you read the stuff that's out there? If you pay us, we will become, what's the word?
Cucks.